ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 6th canto, 5th chapter, text number 23. Nasham nishamya putranam, naradachi lashalinam, anvatapyataka shochan, suprajastvam shuchampadam, nasham nishamya putranam, naradachila shalinam, anvatapyataka shochan, suprajastvam shuchampadam. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace. A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. The Haryashvas, the sons of Prajapati Daksha, were very well behaved, cultured sons, but unfortunately, because of the instructions of Narad Muni, they deviated from the order of their father. When Daksha heard this news, which was brought to him by Narad Muni, he began to lament. Although he was the father of such good sons, he had lost them all. Certainly, this was lamentable. Purport. The Haryashvas, the sons of Prajapati Daksha, were certainly well-behaved, learned, and advanced. And in accordance with the order of their father, they went to perform austerities to beget good sons for their family. But Narad Muni took advantage of their good behavior and culture to properly direct them not to be involved with this material world, but to use their culture and knowledge to end their material affairs. The Haryashvas abided by the order of Narad Muni. But when news of this was brought to Prajapati Daksha, the Prajapati, instead of being happy with the actions of Narad Muni, was extremely sorrowful. Similarly, we are trying to bring as many young men as possible to the Krishna consciousness movement for their ultimate benefit. But the parents of the young men joining this movement, being very sorry, are lamenting and making counter propaganda. Of course, Prajapati Daksha did not make propaganda against Narad Muni. But later, as we shall see, Daksha cursed Narad Muni for his benevolent activities. This is the way of materialistic life. Materialistic father and mother want to engage their sons in begetting children, striving for improved economic conditions and rotting in materialistic life. They are not unhappy when their children become spoiled, useless children, but they lament when they join the Krishna consciousness movement to achieve the ultimate goal of life. This animosity between parents and the Krishna consciousness movement has existed since time immemorial. Even Narad Muni was condemned, not to speak of others. Nevertheless, Narad Muni never gives up his mission. To deliver as many fallen souls as possible, he continues playing his musical instrument and vibrating the transcendental sound. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. It is the duty of the father, the mother, and the spiritual master to ensure that his progeny never take birth in this material world again. As described by King Rishabhdev, Guru na sasyat, pita na sasyat, janini na sasyat. One should not become a mother or a father or a spiritual master unless one can deliver his dependents from the cycle of birth and death. This is a prerogative of the human species. In other species, one cannot take to the process of self-realization. So factually, Daksha, although he educated his children, they were cultured, as is described in this verse today, they were cultured, well-behaved, but they were not fully Krishna conscious. And of course, when they went to perform tapasya at this holy place called Narayana Sara, they met Sri Narada Muni. The effect of meeting a saintly person is described in the Chaitanya Charitamrita by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to Sanatana Goswami. There, Lord Chaitanya describes that even a moment's association with a saintly person can change one's course of life. Sadhu sanga, sarva shastra koi, lava matra sadhu sanga, sarva siddhi hai. Even a moment's association with a saintly person can make one's life perfect. This is the power of the purity of saintly persons. Saintly persons are so pure that no matter how one comes into contact with them, one gets benefited. And we see this especially in the case of Narad Muni. Narad Muni delivered not only the sons of Daksha here, he delivered Mrigrari, the hunter, who met him accidentally. He delivered Prahlad when he was in the womb of his mother. He delivered Valmiki, who was a hunter. And even Nalakuver and Manigreev, who were practically speaking intoxicated with material sense enjoyment, they also got the benefit of becoming associates in the childhood pastimes of Krishna. It is like fire. No matter how you come into contact with fire, you get burnt. So, it is because, of course, of the power of the Supreme Lord, which is manifested through his devotees. In one nice lecture, Srila Prabhupada was explaining how either you take shelter of Krishna or you take shelter of somebody who has taken shelter of Krishna. By taking shelter of such divine persons, one is purified, one increases his remembrance of Krishna. But the purification, the benefit, may not always be appreciated by people who are attached to this material world. Attachment to this material world is so strong that it's very difficult to give up. Daksha is also a devotee of Lord Vishnu, very advanced person, and Practically speaking, he performed sacrifices in which Lord Vishnu himself appeared to accept the offerings. Yet, because of his attachment on the bodily level, he was disturbed when he saw Narad Muni spoil his progeny. Everything is relative. It depends on how you see it. Srila Prabhupada takes this opportunity to describe the eternal war between materialistic father and mother and the devotees of Krishna consciousness movement. He goes on to say that the animosity between parents and the Krishna consciousness movement has existed since time immemorial. Even Narad Muni was condemned, not to speak of others. So Daksha, although cultured, well-behaved, learned, was not yet a pure devotee of the Lord. So he did not appreciate. Narad Muni preached to his sons that, why do you want to go back? Why do you want to get into this entanglement? You can just perform your sadhana a little more and go back home, back to Godhead. And the sons of Daksha obeyed Narad Muni and they achieved perfection. Actually, Daksha should have been very happy. Such wonderful thing. Because Narad Muni is a guru and Daksha is the father. So ideally, the father and the mother should be very happy to see their children become Krishna conscious. And especially to take to the renounced order of life, if that is the case. But because Daksha had material attachment, he could not appreciate. In fact, he lamented. He is lamenting that his children have become pure devotees. This is really an irony. Krishna conscious parents generally are very much anxious that our children should become pure devotees. And it's actually a great sacrifice if the parents offer their sons to the Krishna consciousness movement. Not only is it good for the child, it's very good for the father also. And it's good for all mankind. Because in order to push on this Krishna consciousness movement, there is always a need of those who can give up the paltry pleasures of this world and take to full-time commitment to preaching Lord Chaitanya's message. So it should be a cause of great pleasure. But generally speaking, if the parents are not devotees, or not pure devotees, it is difficult. What to speak of others? Even the parents of Raghunath Das Goswami, Hiranya Majumdar, Govardhan Majumdar, they were not very happy when Raghunath Das Goswami was running away. He was trying to run away again and again, and his parents, they were keeping guards to prevent him from reaching Lord Chaitanya. Of course, ultimately, it's a matter of individual choice. No one can stop a person who is determined. And before Srila Prabhupada went to America, he tried here in India also. And although he would approach many Indians who had more than two children, and he would say, please give one of your sons to be trained in Krishna consciousness. But nobody agreed. In fact, Prabhupada would often talk to Mr. Chabaria. You remember that place where we had this program, Hotels, Sea Palace. And he would tell Mr. Chabaria that my only complaint is that Indians are not offering their sons for full-time Krishna conscious service. And then he told me, Sadhanath Maharaj, later in one lecture he was saying, now by the mercy of Prabhupada, many Indians are giving their sons. It's the mercy of Srila Prabhupada. So, it is actually the success of parenthood to have the children become fully Krishna conscious, or at least attempt to do so. Because the highest pleasure in this material world is sex life. This is something which is very difficult to give up. And if somebody tries to give it up, he achieves the mercy of the Lord. The Lord becomes very pleased by his endeavor. And he also becomes very pleased with the parents. Naturally, to be attached to sons is natural. But to give up that attachment for the pleasure of Krishna is a higher principle. Srila Prabhupada is mentioning here in this purport that generally parents, they want their sons to engage in striving for improved economic conditions. It's not so much the missing of the son, but the missing of the material things that come from the children that is a cause of lamentation. I remember when I was serving in Pune as the president, one of the devotees had joined our Pune center as Brahmachari, and his parents came to me and they were telling him that should tell our son that why is he joining Krishna Conscious Movement? He was doing a job in telco. It's a big company in Pune. They were telling me, you explain to him that there's no difference between telco and Krishna. So I told him, yes, that is true. And that's why he's serving Krishna. Krishna includes everything. You are simultaneously serving all the companies. And later on, you know, his mother was telling me that actually if you can tell him that he can come back home, he need not work also. He can just be at home, we'll maintain him. And then the father said, no, if he comes back home, he should work. Otherwise, what is the use of his coming back home? It's like an investment, you know, like a fixed deposit. When the child is born, you give the deposit, and after 20 years, something should come back. So this is materialistic thinking. If you see from a higher perspective, to give one's children to Krishna consciousness is also, it's also an investment, and it's a better investment because the child can deliver so many ancestors. Like when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took sannyas, or before that, when Vishwarup took sannyas, the parents were very disturbed, Jagannath Mishra and Shashi Devi. And Lord Chaitanya consoled his parents. He said, there's one verse, Putra, Matrakula Pitrakula Duhikela Uddhar, that by Vishwarup's taking sannyas, he has delivered the family of the mother and the family of the father. By his engaging in Krishna consciousness, by taking sannyas. And in this way he consoled. And then he told his father that one night I had a dream. This was many days later. And in the dream I saw Vishwarup, my elder brother who has taken sannyas. He was inviting me and he was telling me, you also come and take sannyas. And then I told him, no, I shall remain home and I shall serve my parents. And then Vishwarup told him that you offer my obeisances to Jagannath Mishra and Shashi Devi. And Lord Chaitanya told them that I will stay at home. But nevertheless, he also took sannyas. So this is also in parampara. That sometimes one may have to break the heart of the parents. It's not that the child is necessarily happy to be away from parents. Holiness Radhanath Maharaj was describing how his parents felt when he left home. Today is his appearance day by the English calendar. Speak a little bit about him. And also it's very related to the verse because he is a true modern Narad Muni. He is representative of Narad Muni. So Maharaj was explaining how his parents were very upset and literally the letter was all covered with tears. And in fact, he was saying that even, I don't know now, but at least a few years back, he was saying, even now, my parents hope that I may come back home, may stay there. This is natural. It is natural to be attached to children. But at the same time, for a higher principle, just like when a child goes abroad to earn money, the parents feel great happiness because you know he's achieving some material success. So similarly, when the child goes for executing Krishna consciousness in a more complete sense, then the parents should feel great happiness. Maharaj was explaining in that talk that the price one has to give for achieving the renounced order is one has to break the heart of the parents. certainly there is some distress, some lamentation. But from a higher perspective, it's gain for both parties. It's a win-win situation. Both parties win. Everybody has benefited and humanity has benefited. And Krishna is pleased. What more? The ultimate thing is what pleases Krishna. So if one is able to and has that inclination, then it's wonderful to take to the renounced order. Srila Prabhupada specially mentions here that when the children become useless citizens, Prabhupada is referring to hippies. Yesterday I was hearing one Srila Prabhupada lecture where he was talking about how when he first came to America, he was thinking that America, everybody is very rich and a very very nice. And then I saw people just lying down. Then I understood that there are three classes of people everywhere, whether America or Bombay or hell. Everywhere there are people like that. In fact, in America, many of the, especially in the time when Srila Prabhupada went, in the late 60s and in the early 70s, many children coming from aristocratic background, they were rejecting their culture, being unfulfilled with a materialistic way of life, and they were taking to what is known as hippie movement. So that is actually what we can say, spoiled citizens. But by Srila Prabhupada's mercy, even people of such background, they took to Krishna consciousness seriously. Of course, there's a story of Gargamuni Prabhu and Brahmananda Prabhu, two great devotees, brothers. Their mother came to meet Srila Prabhupada. And she was in a very, somewhat like Daksha, very angry, very lamenting. And Srila Prabhupada very much pacified her from the very beginning. He said that, actually what training that I am giving you, I am giving your sons, that is the training which you should be giving them. It's the duty of the parents to make the children Krishna conscious. So actually you should be giving that. You should be grateful. You should be giving something for what we are doing for your children. So she said, I have already given my two sons. So Prabhupada replied, thank you very much. So she did not have anything much to speak about because in this way Srila Prabhupada very transcendentally satisfied her. Srila Prabhupada would often comment about these people who would be opposed to devotees. In America there is, you know, like some organizations which sometimes they would kidnap the devotees. They would accuse ISKCON of brainwashing the children. Prabhupada once he spoke, he said, if there is some dirt in the brain, then why not clean it up? What is wrong with this brainwashing? If Krishna consciousness is actually a process of cleansing the heart, and it should be appreciated by all. So Narad Muni, he was also criticized. That's another thing. Whether you preach to people to become brahmacharis, or whether you preach just to become Krishna conscious, whatever you do in society will not necessarily be appreciated. Prabhupada writes here that even Narad Muni was condemned, what to speak of others. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Siddhakur also, tomorrow is his disappearance day. Such a powerful preacher, associate of Lord Chaitanya, coming to this world. And he preached so boldly the compassionate message of Lord Chaitanya. Yet even he was criticized. Many times he was prevented from entering temples in Vrindavan because of the smartha's attachment. And in fact, in Calcutta, there was one police inspector who came up to Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur and told him that some local, very low-class people, they have given me 25,000 rupees as a bribe. They want to kill you, but they just want me to be quiet over this matter. So please be careful. But Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur was, of course, undaunted by such materialistic threats. The point remains is that in this material world, to preach Krishna consciousness in whatever way is generally opposed, especially if it is pure preaching. Lord Jesus Christ was condemned by many of the people whom he was preaching to, whom he was talking to. So one should not be attached to that. In the Bible, Jesus Christ says, I have come to create war between father and son. I have not come to create peace. Is that correct? He says like that. I have not come to create peace. In other words, if the father is not a devotee, then and the son becomes Krishna conscious, naturally there is not very coherent. Once one devotee was asking His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj that many times the parents say that the sons, they should obey their father, right? Matra Dev Bhava, Pitra Dev Bhava. Obedience to parents is the ultimate principle of religion. And even Lord Ramchandra obeyed his father, Dasharath, and he went to the forest for 14 years. So Maharaj replied, if your parents are like Dasharath and Kausalya, then you should obey them. But if your parents are like Hiranyakashipu, then you need not obey. So it's, one has to know what is real parents. In this sense, if you see, Daksha's children, they disobeyed him. And even the Bhagavatam, the word used is, unfortunately, they deviated from the order of their father. So if the father is not really Krishna conscious, then one is not obliged. The husband is not really Krishna conscious, then the wife is not obliged. It's a matter of who leads one to Krishna consciousness. The ultimate goal is to reach the lotus feet of Krishna. And whoever helps us in reaching that goal is our father, is our mother, and he is our guru. That's why we are very grateful to the spiritual master. It is not just merely a sentiment of observing the appearance of the spiritual master. It's not just sentimental, but it's a day of thanking the spiritual master and thanking Krishna for sending the spiritual master to give us that which is the most treasured object of the soul, to save the soul from the gloom of material existence and bring him closer to his eternal home, the lotus feet of Radha Gopinath. I would like to read today one beautiful pastime from Chaitanya Bhagavat for the pleasure of His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj and all of you devotees, because today is his appearance day. This is a nice pastime which describes how even Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu accepted the spiritual master. We see even Lord Krishna, even Lord Ramchandra, accepting the spiritual master is a necessary principle of spiritual life. Rupa Goswami explains in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Ado Guru Ashrayam, one of the first principles among the 64 items is to take shelter of a bona fide spiritual master and to follow his instruction. Lord Chaitanya, of course, is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. There's no need for him to accept any spiritual master. He is the guru of all gurus. He is Jagat Guru. Yet, he did not exhibit any symptoms of love of God until he met Srila Ishwarapuri. And this incident is described by Vrindavan Das Thakur in his great work, the Chaitanya Bhagavat. This was during the time when Lord Chaitanya went to Gaya in order to perform the last rites of his father. He went with several of his students, and on the way he performed a transcendental pastime where it appeared that he was sick, and his students, they tried different remedies, different medicines, but that was of no avail. Finally, the Lord himself said that if you can get me the water that has washed the feet of the brahmanas, then I can be cured. So students rushed and they got some water washed from a brahman's feet. Lord Chaitanya accepted that water, and in his own transcendental way, he was cured. He wanted to show the greatness of the brahmans and the Vaishnavas, and also wanted to illustrate the sacred principle that even I take great pleasure in washing the feet of my devotees. Later, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu entered Gaya. He went to a place called Brahmakund and he took bath there. And then he went to this beautiful shrine, the temple of the lotus feet of Vishnu. In ancient times, Lord Krishna had also visited this place. And as he went there, he saw that there were Brahmins surrounding the shrine. They were offering incense and lamps and flowers and glorification of the lotus feet of Lord Vishnu. With folded hands, they were offering these prayers that these are the lotus feet Kashinath, the Lord of Varanasi, Lord Shiva, holds these lotus feet close to his heart. These lotus feet are served by Lakshmi Devi. These lotus feet are the life and soul of Lakshmi Devi. These are the same lotus feet by which Lord, as Vamanadev, he took over the entire universe and finally placed the lotus feet on the head of his devotee, Bali Maharaj. Oh, fortunate people, please gaze, please meditate on the lotus feet of Lord Krishna. Anybody who even for a sisim seat worth of time meditates on these lotus feet, he doesn't, Yamaraj has no power over such a person. Even the yogis have great difficulty in achieving the lotus feet of Krishna. These are the lotus feet from whom Mother Ganga emanates and thus derives the purifying power of purifying the entire world. Ananta Shesh, the Lord's lotus feet, they rest on the body of Ananta Shesh. Oh, fortunate people, please gaze, meditate on the lotus feet of Krishna. In beautiful lecture, Srila Prabhupada explains that thinking of the lotus feet of Krishna is as good as liberation. If one is always thinking of the lotus feet of Radha and Krishna, Krishna Balaram, this lecture was delivered in Vrindavan. So Prabhupada was pointing in Vrindavan temple that if you always meditate on these lotus feet of Krishna and Balaram, you are sure to be liberated. So Lord Chaitanya was very pleased to hear this glorification. Streams of tears were flowing from his eyes, symptoms of ecstasy. His hairs were standing on end and he was trembling. And at that very moment, by the divine arrangement of the Lord himself, Srila Ishwarapuri appeared. Lord Chaitanya was very pleased and Lord Chaitanya offered his obeisances to his spiritual master. As yet he had not taken initiation, but he had first met him in Navadvip, and ever since then he was offering great respects to this divine personality. Lord Chaitanya, after offering obeisances, he prayed. He said, "My pilgrimage to Gaya is now fruitful, having seen your lotus feet. By coming to this holy place and offering pinda at this holy place in memory of the ancestor, one can deliver those person in whose name the offering is made. But just by seeing you, O Vaishnava, delivers many, many ancestors. Millions of ancestors become free from all material bondage. Not only the person who is seeing becomes purified, but those whose his parents and grandparents, they also become purified just by seeing a Vaishnava. In fact, as explained by Narottam Das Thakur, that one becomes purified by touching Mother Ganga, but a Vaishnava, he is purifying others just by his vision. In the Adilila, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Srila Prabhupada explains about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's associates. He says some of the associates, they were so pure that just by going to a place, they would purify everybody in that place. Such is the power of pure devotion. That even if the person doesn't preach, just by his going there, he would deliver all people. Like there's a story of Janak Maharaj, when he was going to meet Yamaraj. Yamaraj had invited him, something like an inter-Mahajan conference. All the Mahajans, they were coming together. So Yamaraj, Janak Maharaj was passing through Yamaloka and seeing the pain of people suffering in the hell, Kumbhipak, Rourav and others, so he decided to stop there for a few minutes. And just by his being there, all the suffering ceased. People were completely delivered, at least for that time. And then as he was going to proceed further, they requested him that you please stay here, because by your presence we are getting purified and we are getting freed from suffering. Janak Maharaj stayed there. Then when Yamaraj again and again called for him, so finally Janak Maharaj said, I will come provided you deliver all of them. So Yamaraj, he delivered all of them. And Janak Maharaj was pleased. This is Vaishnav. Just by going, they are purifying. You purify others. And Prabhupada goes to the extent in telling the story of Sivananda Sen, how Sivananda Sen delivered the dog. The dog went back to Godhead even before Sivananda Sen. Prabhupada writes in the purport, it's the duty of ISKCON members to be so pure, so strict in their sadhana, that by their association, others become purified. Of course, we have a hard time purifying ourselves. But Prabhupada is giving us a goal that you should become so pure that you can purify others. In this way, Lord Chaitanya, he prayed to Ishwarapuri that there is no holy place which is equal to you, O Vaishnava. You bring the great auspiciousness to the holy places. Tirtha Kurvanti, Tirthani. You make the holy places into holy place. Please lift me up from this cycle of birth and death, and I offer my body to you. Please give me the nectar of Krishna lotus feet. Krishna Pada Padma Deha Gandhaje Amar. Give me the shelter of Krishna's lotus feet. This is what one should be asking from Guru and Vaishnavas. The shelter of Krishna's lotus feet. Then Ishwarapuri smiled and said, O Pandit, I know who you are. You are the Supreme Personality of Godhead. There is no doubt. Who but an incarnation of the Supreme Lord could have such divine learning as you have? Last night I had an auspicious dream. In accordance with that dream, I am now meeting you. Since the time I saw you first in Navadvip, I experience great transcendental bliss every moment. Nothing else stays in my heart except your divine form. By seeing you, I am achieving the same happiness as that by seeing Krishna himself. And Lord Chaitanya, he did not refute, did not accept. He simply said, I am very fortunate to meet you. And then Lord Chaitanya went to other holy places described in the Chaitanya Bhagavat that wherever Yudhishthir Maharaj went, that place is called Yudhishthir Gaya. There is Ram Gaya where Lord Ramchandra went in Treta Yuga to perform the final rites of Maharaj Dasharath. Then after visiting all the 16 Gayas, then Lord Chaitanya came back home and after resting for some time, he began cooking. And as he began cooking, when the cooking was over, just at that time, Srila Ishwarapuri arrived. And Lord Chaitanya was so happy, he left the cooking, he came and offered respectful obeisances. And Ishwarapuri said, Oh, Nimai, I have come at the right time because the cooking is just over. So Ishwarapuri spoke like this. And the Lord said, Yes, please come. Please accept this offering. I'll be very happy. And Ishwarapuri said, What about you? If I accept the offering, the Lord replied, I will cook again. Ishwarapuri said, No, we'll divide into two halves. But Lord Chaitanya said, No, you please accept everything. So in this way, he served his spiritual master. Showing how menial service to the spiritual master is the duty of a disciple. And if one gets that opportunity, it should be considered a great fortune. In the meanwhile, unobserved by anyone, Lakshmi, Goddess Lakshmi appeared and she cooked again for Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Vrindavan Das Thakur gives the blessing that this beautiful pastime of Lord Chaitanya offering a meal to Srila Ishwarapuri, whoever hears this account, he attains the treasure of pure love for Krishna. Later on, Lord Chaitanya visited Ishwarapuri's birthplace, which is known as Kumarahatta. It's between Calcutta and Mayapur. Halishahar also it is called. And Lord Chaitanya, when he visited this place, he was so much in ecstasy. He was rolling in the ground and crying out, Kumarahatta, this is the place where my Gurudev appeared. And he was filled with tears and no word appeared from his mouth except Ishwarapuri, Ishwarapuri, Ishwarapuri. He was just crying out in ecstasy. He took some earth, some dirt from the ground and he was eating it. Not only that, he tied some in his cloth and he was carrying wherever he went and he would eat it regularly. And in this way, he showed his love for his spiritual master. He said, This earth from the birthplace of my Gurudev is my wealth. It is my life breath. And this is what keeps me alive. And then it's described that in one secluded place, he approached Ishwarpuri for initiation. And Ishwarpuri said, "You are asking me for initiation? Actually, you are the Supreme Lord. I should be offering my life to you." But then as a service, Lord Chaitanya, the Jagat Guru, accepted initiation from Srila Ishwarpuri. And then he prayed that, "I offer my body to you. Please cast your merciful glance upon me so that I can achieve love for Krishna." And Ishwarpuri then embraced Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And then it was immediately after this that he started exhibiting symptoms of love of God. As he was returning from Gaya, it was in Kanai Natshala, he was so much in ecstasy, he was running, crying out, "Krishna, Krishna, Vrindavan, Vrindavan." He didn't want to come back to Navadvip. And then he heard a voice from the sky, the demigods, telling him, "Oh, king of Vaikuntha, oh, jewel of the Brahmanas, it is not the proper time for you to go to Vrindavan. When the time comes, then you can go. But for now, you should go back to Navadvip. You will inaugurate the Sankirtan movement. You have advented yourself to deliver the earth. You will fill the limitless universes with the chanting of the holy name. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. You have come to give that nectar which is rare for even demigods like Brahma and Shiva and the Kumaras. We are your servants. We are desiring to tell you this. You are the creator. Ultimately, you are Swarat. Nobody can jump over you. Therefore, O Supreme Lord, please return to your home. And after some time, you can go to Vrindavan." So Lord Chaitanya, after hearing this, he came back to Navadvip and then inaugurated this pastimes of Sankirtan movement. So this relationship between Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Ishwarpuri is so sweet and so much instructive to all of us, menial service to spiritual master, and total dependence on the mercy of the spiritual master in order to achieve the highest goal of eternal shelter of Krishna's lotus feet. And how Ishwarpuri got this great fortune of serving Lord Chaitanya in this mood is because he served his spiritual master, Srila Madhavendra Puri, especially during his final pastimes. Today is a good day to meditate on the mood of being the servant of the spiritual master and offenselessly chanting the holy name. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Any questions or comments? Jai Tulsidas Radhanath Swami Maharaj ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.